Welcome to NASA Storytellers, an ongoing informational podcast presented by the National Association of State Approving Agencies. You will hear the stories of the men and women who are charged with protecting and safeguarding the integrity of the GI Bill. In each episode, listeners will hear from different NASA members who will share the details of their personal journeys and what makes them so committed to the cause of protecting the GI Bill. Learn how their efforts have benefited so many people. Episode 5, a conversation with Annie Walker of the Virginia State Approving Agency. Your interviewer is Mike Criscolo of the Connecticut State Approving Agency.
Good day. My name is Annie Walker, and I'm the Director of Veterans Education, Transition, and Employment Directorate with the Virginia Department of Veterans Services. I'm an Army veteran, former drill sergeant, and I've served 15 years in the military, separating under early retirement in 1997.
Thanks, Annie. What are some obstacles that you experienced in transitioning from military to civilian life?
I think one obstacle was a perceived obstacle because I didn't enter service until I was 26 years old, married with two children. Mm-hmm. So then that meant after 15 years, I was 40 years old. So it was that fear of being 40 years old at the end of my career and entering a much younger workforce. So having to compete with or even have supervisors that were gonna be much younger than myself. So I see that as a perceived obstacle according to how much time you spend in the military. And that's one thing you have to look at. So if you decide to spend 30 years in the military, mm-hmm. then you have to realize that 30 years means that someone else has a 30-year head start on mm-hmm. you also.
So you found professionally the perception was on the employer side,
yes.
looking at you and what you could bring to their organization. So in that process, who are some of the people or organizations in your community that helped you in to where you are now and become successful?
I think I received a lot of help from my unit because they encouraged us to volunteer in our community. And so a lot of the community services also, they reached out to the military on Fort Lee. I retired from Fort Lee to ask us to volunteer. So I think that was the most help that I received into integrating back into the civilian world.
Mm-hmm. Were there specific people outside of the military within the community or family that was, you know, your go-to, was your rock, someone that you would lean on?
The good thing about my unit is that we had civilian personnel mm-hmm. serving alongside military personnel. So I was able to establish a relationship with a lot of the civilians that worked in our unit. So they were definitely a help because they would invite me to dinner. You know, so I was able to see life outside of the military mm-hmm. and visit stores outside of the commissary and the PX. Right. So I think having civilian friends that were really involved in the community also helped me.
That's great. So your role now in higher education and your success there and with the National Association, how would you credit your military experience and your experience in transitioning to where you are now and how you assist veterans and their families?
And you know, all of this has come full circle because now I am the Director of Veterans Education, Transition, and Employment, and that's all of the veterans workforce development programs are under me. So then what I have done is use my experience and my challenges and my joys of transition and try to make sure that they impact the programs that I supervise, you know, like encouraging transition and service members to volunteer. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, and that's how I received my first job coming out of the military, is that I volunteered with the school system, and even though it was a requirement also, part of my early retirement was that I had to serve 5 years of community service, but I was already connected into the community. So it was just a transfer of what I was doing when I was volunteering, and that became my job the Monday after I retired. So I worked with at-risk children with the school system, volunteering, and then once I retired, I became a truancy officer, mm-hmm. which is, I think, perfect for ex-drill sergeant.
Yeah, you certainly command the room. I'm a witness to that. So what is, so we talk a lot about the language between civilian side and the military side. And someone that's leaving the service, do they need to soften it? What are the steps that they would need to take to be more, I guess, moving towards the civilian side and maybe on halfway with that next step of their life?
You know, I would really say try to observe the surrounding, the environment. And you talk about challenges, and that was one of my challenges, is because I do have a commanding presence, you know, so I've been told, in that drill sergeant type of voice, mm-hmm. until I had to always remember, and I still do, that sometimes that's intimidating to people. So I have to always remember to soften. You know, mm-hmm. I smile a lot, and even though I'm naturally a smiler, but I smile a lot so that it kind of takes the sting mm-hmm. out of what I'm saying, that, you know, some people may not be used to the tone, the direct tone mm-hmm. that it may come over. So that would be the one thing also that I would recommend to transitioning service members, is to realize that now you have to take a step back. You're out of the uniform, you know, you're around people who may or may not have experience with the military, and you really do have to transition into, and you know, I don't like to say transition into the civilian world. Mm-hmm. I like to say transition into life after the military, or transition into being a veteran, because then you are a veteran. But one of the responsibilities of being a veteran is that we have to take into consideration that everyone may not have served, everyone may not have had connections with someone that have served.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it's a different tone
yes.
that you need to take. Mm-hmm. And what about with family? And you say you had someone in front of you, and it's like, all right, now you're going from this military stringent service, and now we got to move into this. How would you say that you bring your family with you on that whole ride?
And that's a good question, because my daughters grew up with me being in the military, because I had them when I entered. So they grew up with me being in the military. So then again, with the tone, even though, you know, they often tell great stories about having the drill sergeant as the mother, mm-hmm. but I think the journey that we all had to go on was that I had to reassure them that, okay, mommy's back, you know, mm-hmm. I'm here, you know, not have to attend those extra basketball games that I couldn't attend,
right.
you know, when I was in the military. So there is definitely a journey that you have to bring your family on when you transition, and it is to let them know that you now have my complete attention.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I love the message and appreciate you so much and what you've done for this association and your time today. Thank you very much, Annie.
Thank you.
Great.
You've been listening to the NASA Storytellers Podcast, production of National Association of State Approving Agencies. For more information, please visit NASAA-vetseducation.com. NASA Storytellers, their stories, our stories. Thanks for listening.